Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. After a two-year hiatus, the Columbus Arts Festival returns to the downtown riverfront to welcome hundreds of artists and musicians and craftspeople and some half million visitors for its 60th anniversary. Jamie Goldstein is the Vice President of Marketing, Communications, and Events for the Greater Columbus Arts Council. Jamie Goldstein, welcome to All Sides.
Hi, Ann. It's great to be here.
So the Arts Festival is just one thing from the GCAC, of the GCAC, but it's the big thing.
It is a big thing. This is really the biggest event we produce. We do a couple other small ones, but this is an all hands on deck. We're just 12, 13 staff people, and every single person in the office pitches in to make this happen. But we also have about 100 person coordinating committee, all volunteers, who help us plan this year round. And some of them have been with us for more than 20 years. They're absolutely wonderful. We've got an ops crew and a beverage crew, and it really does take a village to put this festival on.
Yeah, I mean, the opportunities for volunteers, I know you're still looking for volunteers.
We are. So we need, you know, about 500 on-site volunteers to make the festival run. So we do still have volunteer spaces left. If anyone wants to come down, they get a t-shirt and a couple little thank yous and free water. And we would love to have you come help us at the festival. It's going to be a beautiful weekend.
Yeah, listeners, we'll post a link to the festival on our website at wosu.org/allsides. If you want to follow along, check it out and check out the volunteer opportunities as well. The 2020 festival was a virtual event. I got mixed up. You know how the pandemic just mixed us all up on what year was which?
It made time very fluid and weird. Like, it was that 2 years ago? Was that 10 years ago? I can't. Was that yesterday? I don't remember.
I switched it. I thought last year was the virtual, but not. How did the virtual go in 2020?
It was still, you know, that happened in June, and so the whole virtual thing was still pretty new to people.
Anyway, right?
I mean, we were pleased that we were able to present some of our artists online and some performances online. ProMusica streamed a performance, and just get some engagement and give people a little taste of what we were feeling in our heart, which was we wanted to share the arts. That's, you know, the biggest joy for us in producing this festival is that we get to provide this free arts experience, and it's all arts, to the community and to visitors to Columbus. So, it was 2020 was a just, I think I could speak for everyone, a tragic year, and so very sad on so many fronts. And then last year, I think we still wanted to be safe. I think it was too uncertain. We needed to make the call early enough, and that was February, and it just didn't feel like we could do that safely. And then I think we kind of felt like everybody was a little over the virtual thing. So that's why we didn't do anything last year. But we, of course, kept busy. Yeah, you know, our primary function is as a grants agency. We get money from the City of Columbus and Franklin County, and we redistribute that to arts organizations. And one of our biggest focuses during the pandemic was how we keep our grantees whole. So between reserves and federal grants, the pandemic grants, we were able to do that. And we're very proud of that and continue to support artists as well. We did the Art Unite CBUS exhibition and took those mural boards from after the protests from George Floyd's murder around to the community, to a bunch of different sites. And we've just got busy. We're doing fun stuff. We started a gallery in our new office. We have the Loanne Crane Gallery, where we show work by marginalized communities. And so there was plenty of stuff going on, but we missed this. We're so happy to be back and bringing the festival back to everybody.
COVID isn't gone. What health and safety measures have been taken to prepare for this gigantic turnout?
Mm-hmm. We have a few less artists this year. We have just around 200, so the spacing is a little bit more safe. And we have hand sanitizer everywhere. Obviously, if someone we're outdoors, so that's a big help, obviously. And everyone should, you know, take their own personal risk assessment. Masks are, of course, welcome. If you're more comfortable wearing a mask, wear a mask. Mm-hmm. And I think we've discovered that's the most important way you can protect yourself if you're concerned about COVID. And we also, thanks to the Columbus Fire Department and Columbus Public Health, we have a vaccination station on site. That's on the west side of
the
river.
Can you get your boosters there?
You can get your boosters. You can get your vaccines. It's also our family care station. So if mothers need to nurse or anything like that, they can go to this lovely new vehicle that the fire department has.
Oh, cool. Great. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the Columbus Arts Festival. It's back after 3 years, or after 2 years, I guess, is the way to put it. Jamie Goldstein is Vice President of Marketing, Communications, and Events for the Greater Columbus Arts Council, which puts on the Arts Festival every year. By the way, I'm inviting you to stop by the WOSU booth at the Columbus Arts Festival to talk with all of our gang here at 89.7 NPR News, Classical 101, and WOSU TV. The booth is open from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Friday. The festival stays open till 10:30. I'll be there from 3:30 to 5:30, so I would love to see some listeners, and I'll be able to talk to you and meet you and see what you think and help you enjoy the show. If you have a question or comment today about the festival, Jamie will be with us all hour. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. By design, have fewer artists with booths. Was there less interest among artists to participate in the festival?
I don't think we could classify it as less interest. I think that, you know, the Great Resignation affected everyone. And so the arts festival circuit, it is a career for most artists. Yeah. Not every artist wants to be a festival artist. It's definitely a choice in lifestyle, because it's it can be very challenging at times, just looking at the weather. But we had less applications this year, but I believe that that is going to change again next year. I think that we'll be back up to our normal, which is close to 1,000. We had around 600 this year. Still a wonderful crop of artists to choose from, 15 different mediums and incredible art at all different price points. And the artists who are coming are super excited. And we have lots of artists who have attended the festival and been part of this show for years. So,
right. I mean, for the rest of us, it's just this big festival we go to every year. For them, it's one festival after another.
Exactly.
And probably a lot of people just made the calculated choice to forego it for one more year.
Yeah. And some artists, you know, there are many artists who have been doing this for many years. I think that, again, Great Resignation, I think many of them just decided to retire, say this is the sign, right, that I'm going to stop this. Some had to change careers entirely. Some I know personally changed art forms and are building up a body of work. So I think it's a shift that, and this is true for all festivals. We belong to a network of festivals, mm-hmm. and they're seeing this across the country. But the artists who are back and the folks putting on the festival who are back, we're just super excited to present this year.
Makes a lot of sense. How are you celebrating the 60th anniversary? And first of all, how are you counting the 60th anniversary?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that. So we are counting it in live festivals.
Okay.
Okay. So this is our 60th arts festival. In year terms, this would be the 62nd.
Okay. So it would have been the 2020.
Right. We're counting in live festivals. So we didn't count the virtual one. And we are counting the virtual one. The 60th would have been in 2021.
Gotcha. Because 1961 was the first.
1961 was the first. 1962 was the first. When you start to count, I knew this was going to happen. When you start to count, you can't count the first year. You have to count the year in between.
Okay.
Anyway, regardless, I think we're not doing any big thing except for we are having a kickoff event that's shared with the city to unveil the three new murals that are on this peninsula garage that's just west of Kosai. That garage will be open for parking during the festival, accessible off Broad Street. Nick Stahl, Adam Hernandez, and Lucy Shearer, all Columbus-based artists, painted incredible murals that all speak to sort of the history and the heritage of Columbus and the area. And we're going to unveil those tomorrow morning at 11 with the mayor and Tom Katzmeyer, our boss, and Council President Shannon Harden, and show those off. And then we're also showing 101 Dalmatians. It is also their 60th anniversary. It is the original 101 Dalmatians animated remastered. We're going to show that on Saturday at 1 p.m. and at 8 p.m. And John Doherty will be here to talk a little bit more about the film stage this year, which is one of our new things.
Right. What So we're going to talk to John Doherty from Greater Columbus Film Commission. He's going to talk about the film piece of this. What else is new at the festival this year?
One of our major partners, as I think you know, Anne, the festival is put on without any public money. We rely on our wonderful corporate business sponsors and media like WOSU and the American Electric Power Foundation, who's our presenting sponsor, too. To help us put on this festival. But the way that we make money, we don't take any commission from artists, we don't take any commission from food vendors, is in beer sales. So come on down, buy beer, please. that's how the festival keeps its feet on the ground. And we are partnering this year with Rheingeist. So they're going to have their fabulous, right? Their fabulous beers and hard teas and hard ciders. And they also do a really fun interactive beer garden with ping pong and giant Connect Four and cornhole and just all sorts of fun stuff. And that'll be on the west side of the river too, near our big local arts village.
What kind of economic impact does the arts festival have on Columbus? So there's no public money goes into it, but the larger community benefits a great deal from it.
Absolutely. I mean, one, we put on a free festival, so it's an opportunity for people to come down and they don't have to spend any money to experience the arts. We love that. But each of these artists who sells pays sales tax, right? And so Franklin County and the state benefit from the sales tax that's generated on site here at the festival. And we calculated at one time, it's $2 million in sales tax each year. Our artists generally do very well at this festival. And so that's a benefit. We do know that about 25% of our attendees come from outside Franklin County. So, you know, you can talk about economic impact. Those people bring impact because they're coming to the festival as a destination. Mm-hmm. Economic activity, we generate, obviously, there's income for food vendors. There's income for the arts organizations that participate. We pay all of our performers to come down and perform at the festival, spoken word, musicians, dance, theater. So that's how we benefit the community economically.
And as far as the artists that are going to be there, where are they coming from?
They're coming from all over the country, and we also have a Canadian artist in the show this year. So we generally get applications from over 40 states, and I think we're representing 34 states this year, and then Ontario.
How would, are they, it's a juried
It is.
Arts festival, it,
and it's
the
what,
larger arts
It's
festivals.
What we call a blind jury. So okay. Artists submit 4 images of their work in 1 booth shot. The aesthetics at the festival are very important to us. And also the safety of tents, too. So we have a very specific waiting system. No pop-up tents allowed at the arts festival. But a lot of artists, because they do this as a living, have their own setup, right? They bring their own booth. Some of them are a little taller. You'll see variations in the booths, but we do want a certain amount of uniformity and that their presentation is good. So we have 5 people in different mediums who come in and for a whole weekend, they look through all of these submissions. They look at all in this case, 600 of them, and then they go back and they score by medium. So they'll look at all the ceramic artists together, and there's generally 2 or 3 rounds of that, and then they filter it down to the set that we invite to come and exhibit.
Wow, that who do you get to do that? I mean, what kind of people do the?
It's
the
primarily
jury?
Folks from around here who okay. aren't festival artists. So it changes, but we'll have a photographer and a glass artist and a jewelry artist and a painter. So we try and mix up the mediums. We can't represent all 15 in which the artists apply, but we try and pull together a different crop each year, so that there's always the possibility, because art is subjective, that there's going to be a different viewpoint the next time an artist comes through the jury.
There's another tent that is local art. It's
the big local arts village. Yes. Is something we started about 10 years ago. And that is a separate juried show just for Central Ohio artists.
Okay.
And they also do a shared gallery. So artists can sell their work there through a central point that's coordinated by our big local village committee, also volunteers. Shout out to Donna Eastup and Randall Pearson and all those good people. And then they'll take work in from artists and display it in a gallery setting also for sale. And that's on the west side of the river. That's near the big local music stage, which is Columbus-based performers all weekend. And that's also where our demonstration village is. So we have wonderful demonstrations from a blacksmith, Adelaide Stein, and we've got Japanese calligraphy, and we've got chainmail making and wood turning with Devin Palmer. So people can come down and see art actually being made. And I think some of them have some make and take projects with them too.
Now, Devin's been on the show before.
He is.
When we've
He's
been
such
out
a great
there.
Guy.
He's a great guy. Yeah. Kate Morgan's been on the show before. She was an emerging artist some years ago. She's done very, very well. Since then,
she's one of the ones that is the example of what we hope this could be for people. And she took it up and ran with it. She does shows all over the country now.
Right.
And she is a professional festival artist. That's what she does. That's how she makes her living. She has an online presence, too. And she has a studio in Franklinton. But this is how she lives year round. Yeah.
It's a great story. We will continue our conversation. My guest is Jamie Goldstein. She's Vice President of Marketing, Communications, and Events for the Greater Columbus Arts Council, which is the organization that puts on the Columbus Arts Festival, which is back this year. WOSU has a booth over on the west side between the two bridges near Cosi.
Between the Main and Rich Street bridges. Yeah,
the Main and Rich Street bridges. We'll be there. We'll be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'll be there Friday from 3:30 to 5:30, so I'd love to see our listeners join us down there. I'll tell you a little bit more about who's going to be down there before the end of the hour. If you have any questions or comments about the festival, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're previewing the Columbus Arts Festival this hour. It's celebrating its 60th live arts festival. Still with us is Jamie Goldstein, Vice President of Marketing, Communications, and Events for the Greater Columbus Arts Council, which puts on the festival. Evangelia Philippidis is part of the GCAC 2022 Emerging Artist Program. She's a former illustrator for the Columbus Dispatch and is participating for the first time in the arts festival. Evangelia, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I can't believe this is your first time.
I know.
I mean, you're an incredibly accomplished artist. I've been following, and obviously I knew you from working with you and your amazing work. What's the deal?
Well, I had been to the Arts Festival for so many years since I came to Columbus. And a little intimidated by all the wonderful art that I had seen. It took me a while to say, hey, let's try this and see what happens. And ta-da, my first try, and I get in, and then COVID hits, and I don't get to do it for 2 years. So it was an interesting ride.
Tell us about your medium, what you do.
I work with scratchboard, and scratchboard mimics woodcuts. So it's a black and white medium, but you can't do multiples from it. It's a one-off. And it's something that I actually picked up at the Dispatch. It's quick, relatively quick. Let's just say this. It's not like woodcuts where it takes a long time. So I basically start with a black board that has a white clay underneath it, mm-hmm. With black ink over it, and then I work in reverse. I scratch off the black ink to expose the white. And my little weird Greek mind resonates with that. I could never put black ink on white paper and make it look like anything. Go the opposite direction, and all of a sudden, here we are. So,
how did you started doing that when you were at the Dispatch?
I started doing that at the Dispatch.
Wow.
I was never an illustrator.
And now it's your...
This is what I do.
That's what you do.
Yeah, it's my passion. It's my passion. That's my family, my friends, my husband, my dogs. They all go, do you ever stop working? No. I don't. I love it.
No, and you know, it's interesting how you absolutely do. You were an illustrator for editorial at the Dispatch.
Yes.
How you absolutely did this incredible job of telling a story with the picture.
The Dispatch gave me an opportunity that I never would have imagined. The ability to work with the privilege to work with some great writers and editors and to merge words and images together in very impactful issues. So it was wonderful. I could never have imagined when I was in school that this is what I would be doing and that I would be working at one of the best newspapers in the country with some of the greatest writers and editors that possibly existed at the time. So it was wonderful. It was visual storytelling. And as a Greek, ta-da, it was perfect. So
you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the Columbus Arts Festival. It's this coming up this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Still with us is Jamie Goldstein, Vice President of Marketing, Communications, and Events for the Greater Columbus Arts Council. And also with us, Evangelia Philippidis. She's part of the GCAC 2022 Emerging Artist Program. She's a former illustrator for the Columbus Dispatch. So a lot of you out there might recognize who I'm talking to. She's participating for the first time in the Arts Festival. Jamie Goldstein, how does the Emerging Artist Program work?
So in the application process, each exhibiting artist who applies generally applies in their medium. So they would apply as a ceramicist, they would apply as a painter, as a photographer. With the Emerging Artist Program, that is its own category. So artists from any medium all apply if it's their first national festival. So smaller community one-day festivals don't count, but if you've never exhibited in a national festival, one of the caliber of the Columbus Arts Festival, then you can apply, and you're from Franklin or surrounding counties, you can apply to the emerging artist category. And then those folks are juried against each other.
Okay.
So, but once you're in, so if she decides she loves this, if Evangelia decides she loves this and she wants to come back next year, she needs to apply within her medium.
And what is it going to take, Evangelia, to get you back?
I don't know. Let's get through. Let's get through the first one, and then we'll see. I seriously doubt that I wouldn't apply again. This is a premier festival. I don't do a lot of festivals nationwide. Actually, I don't do any. I have aging parents, and so I like to stay home. This is like the gold mark of art festivals for me. And so, you know, short of any natural catastrophe, I don't see why. That won't stop either.
You do it anyway.
Remember Santorini. So no, I can't imagine anything that would stop me from reapplying for something like this.
There's more to it than just winning a spot, too, right? There's a lot of coaching and mentoring.
That is, they get a reduced booth fee. We don't, as I told you before, each of the exhibiting artists has to apply with a booth shot that we use to evaluate them. The emerging artists just get to present an arrangement of their images. So what we're doing tomorrow morning is we're going around with a photographer to each of the emerging artists' booths, and we're going to do a professional booth shot for them.
Okay.
That they can then use to apply to other festivals. We do a couple boot camps that give them tips on presentation and sales and, you know, things that are handy to have on site, like duct tape and coaching and mentoring. And so connecting them with artists who have done this before, so that if, you know, they're in a panic, they're doing the right thing. They have somebody they can call, can just say, it's all right. It's all going to be fine. Uh-huh. It's all going to be fine.
Did that really help?
Yes, it actually did. I have done several smaller shows around the area. And I will say that when they initially said, well, we're going to do a boot camp and tell you a few things that you, and I thought, oh yeah, whatever, I've been doing this, you know. And I was stunned. The things that I learned, you would think that I would know already, but just first of all, having reinforcement on some of the things that I knew, and then having additional information that you go, I never thought of that. That's a great idea. So it was really impactful for me.
It's a whole community, too. And you've gotten to meet some people in advance then that kind of you can buddy up with.
Yes, absolutely. And the art festivals are that. We, a lot of times, you see people that you only see once a year, and it is a community, and it's a wonderful community because we all support each other and back each other up. And if someone is having a bad day, you know, others come around and they give this nurturing feeling that everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. You'll get through this. So this is why making that transition from the 9-to-5 job to doing something like this was incredible. It was incredible for me. I just love it.
Going from the newspaper business and what you did illustrating, you still illustrate stories. Where do the stories come from for you now?
They come from... I do two different things. I do things that have to do with women, images that have to do with dynamic women. Women are forgotten, you know, they have been forgotten through history. So, and then I do a lot of things that have to do with nature, and that's what the predominant imagery in this particular show is going to be all about. So one of the things that I loved about working for the Dispatch was the fact that I had to do a lot of research. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they said, okay, the writer's going out, they're going to do this story. We're not sure which direction it's going to take. Start thinking about it. And so I would do all this research. And so I look at history and I look at the news and what's going on. I still have that mindset that I had at the newspaper. And also personal stories, things that I really care about. I'm Greek, a great, great, great granddaughter of Homer. We are always storytellers. And to do it visually has been very...
And you can always sense that in your work, too. You know, that and I have no idea what Greekness necessarily is one way or the other, but it always feels a little present.
Yeah, it should.
There's something very powerful about your images, I think, that and your work that is connected to that thought.
Yeah.
And I think
that's what surprised me about what happened with the Dispatch was the fact that I thought no one's going to understand what I'm doing. And yet people did. And that's humbling. And it's scary because you think, I got to keep doing this. And so it drives me. That storytelling image drives me. And I want to make that connection with people. At the Dispatch, I did a lot of heavy duty issues that I dealt with, which was great. I'm still dealing with those issues, only I'm trying to take a softer approach to it.
You mean slightly less literal, maybe? Or?
Okay. It was never really literal. It was always metaphoric and symbolic. Yeah. But I don't want to hit people over the head with the destruction of the planet. Look at the whimsy that this planet is about. Look at the beauty of it. But also in my images, especially when I work with nature, there is, you know, endangered animals, endangered flora and fauna. And so it's not as hard-hitting as it used to be when I did the Dispatch, but it's much more pay attention to the world around you.
That community of artists, Jamie, is a real thing.
Absolutely. I think we do it better here in Columbus than anywhere. And I have had a number of artists say the same to me. They've moved back here from other places and said this community is incredibly collaborative, supportive within disciplines and between disciplines. And they just don't find that in other places.
You nurture that, though, at the festival, at festival time. You have an event for the artists, right?
We do. I mean, this is an event. This is an event for our artists, essentially.
The whole thing.
And we nurture artists at the Greater Columbus Arts Council. We're one of a small percentage of local arts councils across the country that provide grants to artists where they can apply for marketing money or supply money, and it's non-competitive. So we have generally three rounds each year, and they apply, and as long as they fill out all the application fields properly, they're going to get some funds to help them continue to make their art.
Let's talk a little bit about the performing arts and how that works.
So at the festival?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have three stages this year. One of them is almost entirely spoken word, and that's at the Cultural Arts Center. That's on just Saturday and Sunday. So again, when you asked me about the safety precautions, we had a few more stages previously. So we're kind of pulling in a little bit so that we can help people continue to be safe. But the Cultural Arts Center stage in their beautiful little courtyard, that's spoken word. We have on Friday night, I think, or on Saturday night, Black Women Rise Poetry Collective, and just some great, and Thurber House Flip the Page. The big local music stage, which is on the west side of the river, that is all Columbus-based performers and all different genres. So there's jazz, there's funk, there's alternative rock, and there's gospel on Sunday with James Gordy. So that's just a really a mix of everything. And then the Bicentennial Park stage, which is the big stage within the festival grounds, is dance, theater, and our headline acts. On Friday night, we've got Shadowbox at 8:30, and they're doing Flower Power, which is going to be a fun hippie-based show about that movement in the 70s. And then on Saturday, we have a great lineup that includes Weekend Friends, which is a group from Portland, Maine, who's on a national tour right now, and then Mr. Anderson, Columbus favorite, super high-energy, fun band. And then we're super lucky. There's a group from Scotland called We Were Promised Jetpacks, and they were supposed to come in 2020, and they are on tour again, and we're so happy that we got them. And so they're going to close out the night.
So what do they do though? I saw the title of the. I love the title.
They're fun. They're rock. I mean, okay. They're kind of indie rock is what I would call them, but. Okay. But it also has that, because they're Scottish, there's a folk feel to it. I don't know if I'm going to be very good at describing it, but I think people are going to really like them. And, you know, and if it's only for the name alone.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I mean, because weren't we all promised jetpacks?
We were promised jetpacks. And look, what do we have? Well, Evangelia Philippidis, thank you so much for your time today and best wishes for every success over the weekend.
Thank you very much, Anne. It was good seeing you again.
And Evangelia is a part of the GCAC 2022 Emerging Artist Program. She's a former illustrator for the Columbus Dispatch. You might recognize her from there. And she's participating for the first time in the Arts Festival. Coming up, we are going to talk a little bit more about the festival with my other guest, Jamie Goldstein, Vice President of Marketing, Communications, and Events for the Greater Columbus Arts Council. And we'll also be hearing about the film piece of it. It's new this year. Also want to remind you that WOSU has a booth at the festival Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we'll have everyone from Debbie Holmes to Christopher Purdy to Dr. Frederick Bertley, CEO of COSI and host of QED with Dr. B on WOSU TV. Brent Davis from Bluegrass Aficionado, and also Rich Baker of Bluegrass Ramble. Matt Rand, you hear him every day or many days on the radio. He's a reporter for 89.7 NPR News, and I'll be there tomorrow from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. So stop by and say hi to the WOSU crew. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Dan Fisher. The Columbus Arts Festival returns to the downtown riverfront for the first time in 2 years, I guess, 3 years after one virtual event in 2020 and a total cancellation in 2021 because of the pandemic. For the first time, Film as Art is on the menu. Still with us is Jamie Goldstein. She's Vice President of Marketing, Communications, and Events for the Greater Columbus Arts Council, which puts on the festival. John Doherty is Director of the Greater Columbus Film Commission. John Doherty, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Ann. It's great to be here. Great to be in person.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It has. Why film this year?
Well, I guess after talking with Jamie and other festival organizers, film is becoming a bigger part of the community here in Columbus. And we thought it'd be great to highlight some local filmmakers, some local projects, and then show some family-friendly programming in the evening. So we're excited about it.
What films are going to be shown? Give us a little thumbnail.
Great question. So we have the main films Friday night at 8 p.m. Labyrinth, starring David Bowie from 1986. I had to look at my notes. And then Saturday night, we're playing the original at 8 p.m., 101 Dalmatians from 1961, which coincidentally was the first year of the Columbus Arts Festival. So it'll be exciting to watch those movies with
And we're showing that at 1 p.m. too.
Yes.
Yeah, in the afternoon. So people can catch it in the afternoon or in the evening.
And where do they go? Where is it going to be?
It's Genoa Park, right on the west side of the river. You know, you have those seats that go down to the river.
Right.
And then down at the bottom, there'll be a, a big LED screen. So you'll be able to see it during the day.
Okay.
So programming starts at 3 p.m. on Friday and noon on Saturday.
So I'll ask you, why film? Why this year? It just started to emerge as an art form that...
I think as John said, primarily because film and filmmaking is growing in Columbus. We're doing some, and he can talk more about this, but some workforce development stuff and really trying to attract just both the businesses that produce film and the projects that produce films, but also the workforce that supports it. And we have some already incredibly talented filmmakers here in Columbus. And so, we have wonderful educational institutions like CCAD. There's going to be some animated shorts from the students there that are all working towards the same end, right? I think when we talk about film, and John can speak to this, we're sort of expanding our definition of film and the things that are about that portion of the creative sector. So I think, why don't you talk a little bit about...
Yeah, and like Jamie said, some incredibly talented people here in Columbus. We're showing a couple of docs, one doc from a local filmmaker, Sterling Carter. He was a recipient of a Art Unite CBUS Award back in 2020. And Sterling, in partnership with Nationwide Children's Hospital, did a documentary on Linden and showing the bright side of Linden and the good things that are going on at Linden. So we're showing that a few times during the festival, and it's great. He did an amazing job, and he's going to come and talk a little bit before one of the screenings on Saturday evening. And we're showing a documentary called Made to Grow, which is about the local fashion industry in Columbus Fashion Alliance. So we're excited about that, too. But, in the bigger picture, film, like I said, is becoming a bigger part of our community. And we're starting to look at film as something more than just film. We're looking at gaming as part of that entertainment. The lines between gaming and animation and film are blurring so much that you have to include all that. I told at our film summit a few weeks ago, Tribeca Film Festival, which is starting right now, they dropped film from their name. They're now just called Tribeca Festival because they're including gaming and all kinds of other entertainment disciplines. So it's a large, growing community, and it's something that could have a really big positive impact both economically and on the arts world here in Columbus.
It seems like about 13 or so years ago, I remember when I first started doing the show, there was a downturn. There was things, they canceled the film program at Ohio State, I think, was what happened, and it didn't look good. What do you think, and we've talked about this before, but let's talk again about what changed. What was the turning point again?
Yeah, so really great question. Films are going to chase tax credits. It's the nature of the business. It's what they do. And the Ohio legislature instituted a tax credit program called the Ohio Motion Picture Tax Credit in, I believe it was 2012 or 13, I think. And that's really what kickstarted it back up. There are 30-something states, I believe, now around the country that have tax credits. More are jumping on that bandwagon. In 2017, we doubled the tax credit. We were successful in doing that. So that helped put us on the map a little more. And right now we're working on legislation real quickly called House Bill 599, introduced by Representative Lanise. And it incentivizes brick and mortar construction of things like if a soundstage wanted to be built here. So it really incentivizes people wanting to live here, work here, stay here, and provides opportunity or more opportunity for kids getting out of, like Jamie said, CCAD, OSU, Kenyon, Denison, all the colleges around the state, you know, not just Columbus. You know, if we succeed as a state, you know, that's what's going to be great for all of us.
And I would imagine, I mean, just the whole business seems to be getting more diversified. I know it's still very sunk into the coast, but...
Yeah, oh, sure. You know, it's New York and California have big tax credits. Georgia has a huge tax credit. Mm-hmm. West Virginia and Indiana just introduced legislation. It hasn't passed yet, but they introduced legislation. So it's becoming, like you said, more diverse. And, you know, Louisiana is a big player. Kentucky is getting to be a big player, too. Oklahoma, even, of all places, really killing it when it comes to film. So Ohio should be part of that. And I keep telling legislators, is why not do it here? That money for these productions is going to be spent somewhere. Why not let them spend it in Ohio?
Well, and it you know, the thing is, the pandemic really, I think, shined a light on the fact that you can do this stuff from anywhere, right? I mean, it definitely showed that you don't have to be on the coasts to produce high quality entertainment.
And I've said this before on the show, that I get calls all the time, people who live on the coast who want to move back to Ohio. They want to be closer to family. They want to raise a family here. They don't want to raise a family in Los Angeles. So let's provide that opportunity not only for them, but for the kids that are getting out of schools around the state.
This is new to the festival, so what are your expectations about how festival goers will respond? I mean, are they going to sit down with their kids and watch? I think I want to go and watch 101 Dalmatians.
The original 1961
It's
remastered.
Yeah,
it's
remastered
version. We absolutely, you know, that wonderful natural, wonderful constructed amphitheater with the steps right there at Genoa Park. And technology has come a long way, too. You know, you used to have to project stuff. You don't have to do that anymore. So we can show films during the day. You know, we are in some of the longest days of the year right now in June. And so for us to do a film previously, we didn't really have the capacity to do that with a projection system.
People would have to go indoors, I mean, somehow.
You'd have to go indoors. You have to have darkness. So it's going to be, I think, a perfect weekend for film. And this is an LED system, right?
Yeah, it's LED, so you'll be able to see it during the day. And that's what we envision. We envision people grabbing something to eat. There's going to be some food trucks right at the top of the hill and grabbing something to eat, just hanging out. And the programs are split up into blocks, and they'll be repeated throughout the day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so and we're showing episodes of Broadway. High.
Okay. And yeah, that's right.
Yeah, highlighting some local artists.
WSU, so that'll be fun. Broughton High, right?
Yeah, that'll be great. And so you can come grab something to eat, sit down for 15 minutes, watch a little bit of programming, then come back later in the evening for Labyrinth or 101 Dalmatians.
I mean, the weather, actually, we've been talking, of course, who doesn't talk about the weather, whether it's the Memorial or the Arts Festival or whatever, the huge events being planned for the summer around here. But it's not going to be maybe super sunny, so that's almost better.
Actually, advantageous for the screen, so
but it's not going to be rainy, Jamie.
Nope, thank you. From your lips to God's ears, Anne.
There will not be rivulets and rivers.
There have been rivulets and rivers in previous years. We go rain or shine. You know, so some there have been years when we've all been very wet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I've been there on air when we've done that.
Seem to remember that.
But you know what? People still come out.
Yeah, I mean, when I've been telling colleagues that we're doing film at the festival this year, and I tell them the size of the festival, they're like, goodness, that's huge. I'm like, yeah, it's great to be able to get that many people together.
What happens for artists? I mean, artists actually tend to still do pretty well because that the diehard patrons and the diehard buyers come out. You know, we don't sell a lot of beer, but the artists do well, and really, we do this for them.
Yes. So.
my subliminal message, 5 years, because that's what GCAC gets from all of this. As far as deciding what you're going to show this year, was it hard? I mean,
you know, I worked with Gateway Film Center. They're one of the sponsors, and worked with Chris Hamill there, and he had some suggestions, and those were two of the suggestions, and I was like, yes on both of them immediately. He and I sat down. We were talking about, you know, how could we tie this into either a anniversary year of a film or of the festival, and we started going through IMDb, the movie database, and came up with 1961, and he said 101 Dalmatians was playing, and I was like, that's perfect. So,
and then Labyrinth is just arty.
It's just a great movie.
Yeah. Everybody loves Jim Henson. He's so amazing.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And as far as fostering interest in film, how are you going to do that?
Yeah, that's a really good question too. Again, I mentioned Sterling Carter with his documentary, A Beloved Community. He and I have been out to Lyndon McKinley High School to talk to kids about film, and he was out there shooting some stuff a couple weeks ago and filming with the kids and telling them about the Arts Fest, and you know, just getting kids involved at a young age is a real big priority for us. I think just getting or having this program in such a great capacity and a great venue and a great spot is does nothing but raise the visibility of film.
You know, we were talking about geographic diversity earlier, but technologically, we all have a camera.
Oh yeah. And a good camera.
A good camera in the palm of our hand nowadays. And that means kids have more access than ever before to tap into this.
They just need a path. They just need to know how to activate that. And Film Columbus has a great program, script writing for kids.
Yeah, we do. Thanks, Jamie, for bringing that up. Every year we do a script writing contest for kids age 13 to 18 in Franklin and the contiguous counties. And we work with CCAD. And the kids, the two films who win, or the two scripts who win the contest, we actually make their films at a CCAD collaborative film class in the fall. So that's coming up. We're super excited about that. And that's been great for the past few years. And there's some, I saw some films from some of the new students at CCAD back when we screened the last script winners. And some of the kids at CCAD right now are just, they're mind-blowing how good they are. So we're excited for this year's crop of films.
And this isn't a one-off. You're now, film will be something people can look forward to.
I hope so. JP Morgan Chase is our corporate sponsor this year, and this will be my plug for them to come back and support us again next year.
Yeah, it works. Thank you, Jamie. And yeah, we're super excited, and they came on board and great partners, and again, Gateway Film Center. So we're excited.
We got an email from someone who wanted to know how they can become a performer at the festival, how that works.
Sure. On our website, columbusartsfestival.org, we open our applications for performers and artists in the fall. And I believe the performer one is open until January or so. The exhibiting artist window, that closes in December, as we do our jury in late January every year for exhibiting artists. But performers, they apply, and then we have a committee of folks who goes through and does the booking and tries to look for diversity amongst the performers, as we like to present all different musical genres, and makes the selections.
But they're paid. That's key.
They are paid. Mm-hmm. They are paid.
That's a big deal.
It's we don't do anything at the Arts Council without paying artists. I still get occasionally requests, much less so now, from people who want, you know, our list of artists, whether it's visual artists or performing artists or whatever. And my first question is always, what's your budget? And they say, well, it'll be great exposure. You know, exposure doesn't pay the rent, doesn't put food on the table. So, you know, we're not just arts advocates, we're artist advocates at the Greater Columbus Arts Council.
When we see high school groups performing.
Yeah. There's the new Albany middle school theater company. So we have younger artists. We have groups that have younger artists in it. I think the Celtic Dancers have performers that range from, you know, their teens up to their 70s. So you're going to see, of course, Transit Arts, which everybody loves.
Always,
they'll be at the festival. Momentum will be at the festival. So we've got some fun younger groups, and it's always wonderful to see budding artists come out and demonstrate their talent.
I want to remind listeners that WOSU has a booth out at the Columbus Arts Festival this year. Check it out. It is between the two bridges on the west side.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be there on Friday from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. There'll be all kinds of folks there on Saturday, like Jennifer Hambrick and Christopher Purdy from Classical 101 and Mike Thompson, host of Columbus on the Record. And on Sunday, we'll have more people from Classical, Amy Jurevich, you hear her every day, Andy Chow, Ohio Public Radio State House News Correspondent, and Renee Fox, a WOSU News Reporter. I want to say thanks to John Doherty, Director of the Greater Columbus Film Commission. Thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ann. Thanks for having me again. I love it.
And Jamie Goldstein, Vice President of Marketing, Communications, and Events for the Greater Columbus Arts Council. Have a great weekend, Jamie.
Thank you. We're super excited.
And thanks to the All-Side staff, Senior Producer Marcus Charleston, Assistant Producer Bobby Gerberick, Interns Evan Clark, Brody Severali, Molly Teller, Video Productions by the Ohio Channel. Board Operation is by Bobby Gerberick. Alan DeCenzo is a composer of our theme music. Have a great weekend at the festival. Thanks so much for joining us today. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.